What's going on, Reality Daily? This is Jeremy here talking all things Survivor 46 episode 2. And it is episode 2, so we need two people to talk about this. I am one, and my buddy Naveed is the other. Naveed, what an episode we get to talk about today.
Yeah, you know, I was really persistent to come out to this episode because I wanted to defend my girl Venus, and I can't wait to do so when we get talking about the Nami tribe.
Well, yeah, let's just jump right in, talk about all things Nami and Venus. So Venus is going to be the main focal point of the drama that is revolving around Nami in this episode. She states that she feels like she's on the outs. She gets like she feels very lonely. She doesn't feel like people are talking to her one on one. And like even though Nami has this like kumbaya vibe, she doesn't feel very much part of it, and it's kind of upsetting to see that, because she seems like a decent girl and she seems like a nice girl, and it just seems like she's just being given like I don't know the scarlet letter for nothing. You know, it's like she didn't do anything except not, you know, perfectly vibe with the strangers she just met 4 days ago.
Yeah, Tevin really hates Persians. I'm going to just say it. Like, it's actually disgusting to see the way that Venus is trying her hardest to make some connection with these people, and they're making faces. Like, my girl is putting up, like, this beautiful little, like, headband for the tribe idol, and, like, Tevin is, like, making, like, rolling his eyes and all this. And it's like, who hurt you, Tevin? Did you have, like, an ex that was Persian or something like that? Like, I don't understand where this beef is coming from. Venus is legitimately like putting the red steps forward, asking like Soda if she wants to talk that day or like just having a stroll. But apparently in that 24 hours, Soda is not vibing with it and doesn't want to talk to Venus at all. Maybe it's because that she's too distracted with her Sodar or whatever it is. But it's like really, really like disgusting to see the way that she's being treated. I'm personally hoping for a swap one of these rounds, but it's looking rough for my number one draft pick and my fellow Persian, Venus.
Yeah, you know, so Venus is going to feel like she's on the outs. So she's going to look for an idol, just like anybody would do. And it, you know, she's not the only one that feels like she's needing to look for an idol. We see Hunter looking for an idol. We also see Randon looking for an idol. We didn't see a whole lot of Randon last week, but from what we did see, it's that he doesn't feel super strong about the vibes that Venus is giving. So that's a bit of a red flag. And unfortunately, for Venus stands like Univy, Randon is going to find this beware advantage before Venus does. What did you think about Randon being the one that found the advantage?
So I was pretty stoked because Randon is one of my other picks, and I said that when I picked him, I was like, he's going to be either like a home run or he's going to fail at the beginning. So far, he's doing good. I think if he can make it further, he'll do well. I felt bad for Venus because she couldn't get the beware advantage, but let's be real here. Finding an advantage these days is like a lot different than pre-40s Survivor. Back then, you get it, you know, you're excited, you're stoked. Now it feels like you're reading like the fine print for like a receipt or something like that. There's like a million steps that you have to follow just to get a hold of this advantage. I think Randon is I'm happy for him, but we'll see if he can even get this advantage. Like we'll even see if he's gonna have a vote by the next Tribal Council. It's a rough time to be a Survivor player these days when it comes to advantages, but I do think it's good that they're making him work for a bit more. And like pre-40.
Yeah, so it's the same rules that Tiffany had in the premiere from the Yanu tribe. You know, so she's gonna find the beware advantage. She's gonna dig underneath. She's gonna find a box with a key or with a box, and then hey, come back after the immunity challenge and with instructions to find the key for this lock. So we won't see Randon scrambling for the key until the next immunity challenge they lose, if they lose, because at this point Nami has been dominantly in first place in every challenge we've seen. But what is a bit of a surprise is Randon is going to choose to disclose this information to Venus, the person that he was kind of throwing out as a potential target in the last episode. What did you think of this, like, 180 from Randon here?
They really knew that an iconic podcaster by the name of Naveed was going to be picking them for their draft. They really knew that they had to come together and work together. They're woke, as the kids would say. I think Randon kind of like looked at the option. Yeah, I guess you're right. It's not what woke necessarily means. But anyway, Randon kind of like looked around and saw that, like, listen, I'm already like on the outs potentially. Like the best chance that we have here is probably we're looking towards Venus and working with her. And I don't blame him like for making that choice, because it seems like Soda, Hunter, and Tevin are already very close together. And I think Randon is always the type to say, like, I'm not going to be number four. I'm going to make my own trio alliance. And I think that's just the way Randon approaches the game. But unfortunately for him, if we could talk about Liz, JB, that's potentially his number three in that tribe, and I feel bad for him, because Liz is probably one of the most insane contestants or castaways we've ever seen. She is actively doing all the wrong things that a castaway should be doing, like flexing their money and like flexing all this stuff, and is still somehow not like the bottom of the tribe. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well, Liz, you know, had a confessional in this episode where she kind of explained, you know, that she wasn't really out on Survivor to win the game. And that doesn't necessarily mean she's not going to be competitive, but it's more so like, that's not her main prerogative to be on the show. She's more on the show just to kind of prove to herself and to her daughter, she's a single mom, that she can do whatever she wants to do. And, you know, there's something noble there. But the fact that, like, Liz has, you know, done all of this and is still not on the bottom of the tribe really goes to show that they do not fuck with Venus at all. And it's surprising, because it's like, you know, Venus is someone that like this should be an easy first vote for the Nami tribe if they were to ever get to this point. Liz is very clearly doesn't need the money, doesn't have any like strategic, you know, like agency in the game. She's not someone that you feel like you can trust 100%. So she's an easy, like, hey, let's the five of us get together and let's just vote her. Like, she's not going to have an idol. Maybe she'll play your shot in the dark, but that, you know, I don't think she would. So, like, she's an easy target, but we still haven't seen a whole lot of this. You know what I think, Naveed? I genuinely think Nami makes it to this swap. I think there is going to be a swap this season. And I think all six of them make the swap, because the way that like it is seen is that I just feel like Nami's the tribe that is going to get to a swap and then just turn on each other all around when all the tribes are kind of together again, because it what we're seeing here is just it's a dichot, like it's a recipe for disaster. Like, they are not forming strong alliances yet, and it's because they haven't had to, because they've been winning. But even then, like, it's still like it's funny because on the surface they are all kumbaya, they are singing campfire songs, they are, you know, this like really big happy family, but as we saw in this episode, it's far from them.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not Venus's fault that like Tevin growing up was bullied by probably girls that look like Venus. Like, it's not like I think that she's getting the brunt of Tevin's past, so that's the unfortunate
part. Tevin, though, I really don't think that it's
not, nah, bro. Tevin is making all the faces and all like he literally called Venus a princess at the beginning of like of episode one or whatever last week. Like,
but I don't think it's all Tevin. Like, that's I do think Tevin is contributing to this, but Soda is also right there with.
Yeah, Soda sucks too. Don't get me wrong. Like, Soda sucks too. Like, she could get the heat as well. But I just find it crazy that they look at Liz and consider her to be a better ally. The girl that's like that. In my opinion, Liz might be the first person in Survivor that actually paid production to be on the season. Like, that's just like I don't know where they like I don't know how they can trust Liz. Like, she's probably she would be one of the worst allies you can ever have. Like, do you think Liz could lie or like actively have your back? I don't think so.
I wouldn't personally align with Liz, but that's a personal choice that these people have to make. And it seems like they're going to choose Liz over Venus, which is somewhat of a surprise, but it goes to show how much they are threatened by her. And we're also going to see Nami after the immunity challenge, which is very rare, even in a 2-hour episode like this, where, you know, after the immunity challenge, we really only get to see the tribe that's going to tribal council and see them, you know, go after each other. But we're going to see here Nami as the tribe goes in. And yeah, they get their fishing gear. They're excited about that. But we also see Venus is not thrilled after the challenge. Apparently during the challenge, she hurt her toe. And when she said that, I was a little nervous because it was like, oh, well, maybe like she's getting looked at medical and maybe like, you know, maybe she would have her place threatened in the game based off of that. But it wasn't that. It was Venus was not thrilled about Soda snatching the immunity idol from her after the challenge. It's something that came up last week, but we only really saw this week. And so the fact that it's happened multiple times, and we see Soda and Venus stand on the mat to get next to each other each time because they're two of the shorter people on the tribe. And so that's just how they, like, I guess, block the players and so they get the shot of everyone that everyone's there. But man, like, this is like something's brewing here. Like, we are seeing the villain origin story for the Nami tribe with this scene.
I just don't understand, like, what's Soda's problem? Like, is it because that Venus has a better name compared to your Soda name? Like, I don't understand.
No, here's what I gauge from the situation. I personally don't think that Soda really has anything against Venus. Because Venus has done nothing to her. Venus has solely existed. And I honestly feel like Soda just has so much energy. And so much, like, and she's very extroverted and she's very, you know, and so she's taking up that space that an introvert like Venus would also occupy. And she's unaware that she is kind of stepping on Venus's toes. It's a lack of social awareness from Soda, and it could bite her in the ass. That's what it looks like to me, because what we see here from Venus is, you know, she has a confessional in the camp, which is very rare. Usually they'll have confessionals that are in a separate part of the island so that nobody can hear. But I think that because they were out fishing or they were doing something else, they were able to have that moment in the shelter because she was the only one there. And so I think that the fact that that confessional happened, like in a 1.5-hour episode, I don't know if this scene would have been shown. And in a 60-minute episode, this definitely would not have been shown. But I think that because we see this, it gives this potential for a Venus flipping storyline down the line if she were to get on a new tribe. So for a Venus stand like Univeed, pray for a swap. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, we're praying. We're praying. I'm really praying for her. And I just feel bad. I just don't, like you said, so much energy. I'm saying so much jealousy, and I just think it's unfortunate that that's the case. Do you want to move on to the next tribe, though, Siga?
Let's talk about Siga here, the other tribe that is not going to end up at tribal council in this episode. Again, we see a lot of strong vibes from the Siga tribe from the first week, the surviving tribe, if you will. But we're also going to see this this scene between Charlie and Maria, and they allude to the fact that they kind of see themselves as the middlemen in the tribe because they are, you know, connected to the women, and, you know, Charlie has that connection to the men because Ben and Tim are going to talk about the fact that Maria has that extra vote. So we really should get on Maria's side. Charlie, you're close with Maria. You know, maybe you two can talk something. And Charlie and Maria are going to talk in the woods, and they're going to talk about the fact that they feel like they're in the middle of the tribe and how they can really work together deep into the game. They reference Malcolm and Denise as like an example of who they could be, someone who was a 20-something man and I believe a 40-something woman. Teaming up together and making it deep in the game. Malcolm and Denise were both in the final four in their original season. So if Charlie and Maria are able to do that, then that's a pretty like strong goal to have. And it could definitely happen. Maria talked about how she wants to kind of emulate her game after Denise. And if you're a 40-something-year-old woman, that is kind of the, like, best possible game you could play based off of, like, a past example. What do you think of this Malcolm and Denise 2.0 potential?
Look, comparing the Taylor Swift fanboy to the god that is Malcolm is such a slap in the face to Malcolm. I think it's smart by Maria to make that comparison because it might improve Charlie's ego and like maybe boost the confidence and maybe create some loyalty there. But I think I would have preferred to see her actually say that that's what she was doing in the confessionals versus her actually seriously telling the camera that she sees the similarities, because I personally don't see the similarities. You know, maybe you could make a case that Maria is kind of like Denise. But it's like, I don't know, like, and I think this is one of the things that I want to just point out when it comes to Survivor casting nowadays. And I know everyone complains that they're casting too many fans nowadays and that it's almost necessary to be on the show. I think the callbacks to previous seasons is getting a bit much, and I think we've seen too many of these, me and X person Y and Z duo back in the day. Like, we've seen the JT and Steven comparisons all the time. So I think I'm at the point now where I'm happy if this Maria and Charlie alliance is just that. It's not compared to Denise and Malcolm. It's not compared to any other alliance. It's just those two and what they do this season.
Yeah, like why not? Like, why do you have to be the second version of something? Why not be the first Charlie and Maria alliance?
Exactly.
You know, like, I see where you're coming from. I'm going to, like, throw something out there, like a take, and I want to see what you think about it, Naveed. Charlie is getting a winner's edit 2 episodes in.
Ooh, I could see that.
I am getting winner vibes from Charlie. I'm looking at a confessional count on Twitter right now. Charlie got the most confessionals on his tribe in both episodes. He has more confessionals than all but 2 people, that are currently in the cast, Tiffany and Kenzie being the top 2, and they've been a tribal in both episodes. So like Charlie having this much screen time is very, very rare for a tribe that hasn't gone to tribal council. I really think that, like, if he's not a winner, he's definitely a big character down the line. And this whole scene with him and Ben, I also thought was a bit interesting, and it may foreshadow something down the line as well between him and Ben. You know, him and Ben have also been kind of attached to the hip in last week's episode. They were the two that participated in the savvy, test that they ended up losing. Ben is also someone who a little bit more of a hot take, I think, but I could also see a potential winner's edit with Ben. That's a little bit more out of left field, but I feel like with Ben, he's someone that, like, he has so much energy and so much charisma, but to live with him, I feel like would be kind of a challenge. And that's just based off of what we've seen from him. I'm sure he's a great guy, lovely guy. And he did get that flashback scene in this episode as well, where he kind of just talks about his upbringing. And so for me, I'm thinking, like, if people are, like, annoyed about Ben, they would have shown that by now, I feel. But the fact that, like, all of the girls, nobody said a single negative thing about Ben, really shows to me that, like, they really do, like, Ben has this likability, and if he gets to emerge, like, I have a really hard time for people to see him as someone that is, like, that you want to, like, take out. Like, I don't think you're going to get to, like, the top 8 or 9 and be like, yeah, we really need to get rid of Ben. Like, he's not going to win challenges, probably, individually. He's not, like, a super gamer, game bot kind of guy. So, and also, something I also want to point out, he had that scene where he makes fire, which last season, there was a fire scene that alluded to the 2 people that ended up making fire. It wasn't as early in the season, but it is something I picked up on. It wouldn't surprise me if Ben ends up making Fire, maybe even against Charlie in the Final Four.
So that's an interesting take, but I think we're gonna definitely need a big, like a larger sample size to get an 100% idea of like where the real winner edits are pointed toward. Because I think also the bigger issue with the Suga tribe, am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
Suga tribe. Yeah, the Suga tribe is, I think they're the most like kumbaya tribe that we've seen so far, and there's like the least amount of drama. So from all the confessionals that we're gonna get out of them, it's gonna be more so like in a positive light. So that's where it seems like they're very goofy too with like what they're doing, and that's probably the bigger reason why we're getting like these like winner edit vibes. But we'll see what happens if like they go to an actual tribal council, like who gets more focused and who doesn't.
Absolutely, 100% agree with you there. But what I will say is I feel like the way that the season's going, you know, we saw the Matt chat at the Immunity Challenge. We'll get to the challenge here shortly. But at the Immunity Challenge, like, there's a lot of animosity between the trash-talking between Nami and Yanu. And it seems like they could target each other once they get to emerge. And on top of that, there's already infighting between those two tribes, and they're probably going to look towards some Suga people for some stability. And that's also where the idea of the winner being from the Suga tribe comes from. It's the fact that there is no infighting, there is no drama with the other tribes. The only, like, Maria and Tevin have the first journey as like a link, but other than that, there is no link between them and the other tribes that's good nor bad. So I just feel like Suga has, and look, it is still very early, it's two episodes in, but if I had to put money on it right now, where is the winner in what tribe, it'd be Suga.
I agree. I'm agreeing with you. Yeah. And this is just me being non-biased, and you know, and like not being all Venus is the best and all that. I'm being non-biased. I think Suga has the biggest winner potential.
I mean, Venus is winning the season, as you and I both know. But
yeah, she's slaying this season.
She's slaying the season. All right. So let's get to this immunity challenge. They're gonna all come in, and they're all gonna be really shocked that Jelensky was voted out. Which was so funny. That's so funny. They're like
the straight white male that's 6'7"? Excuse me? Like, yeah. I think they all expected someone like Banu to get voted out just simply for being a visible minority. I think that's what they all expected. Yeah, exactly.
So they're gonna go through this like obstacle course. They have to cut some rope and then, you know, build this wagon, take the wagon, put these chests on, and then build this arching puzzle with all these big, supposedly heavy, you know, blocks that will all spell out the word persistence. And it's really going to come down to the end, because all three tribes are going to struggle here to get this puzzle done. You know, it's a balancing act. It's a teamwork event. It's planning, you know, there's so much that is going into this final challenge. I really like this challenge, Naveed. I think because it challenges so many different like skills, and it's a team challenge. It's not like it's down to two people and the two people are, you know, at risk of going home. This is everybody. Like, everybody is in the firing line. You can't hide. It's not like a hero moment for somebody. It's whichever tribe works together the best is going to win. And that's why it didn't surprise me that Nami and Suga were the winners of this one, because Yanu hasn't worked well together in the past. And this really showed in this challenge.
No, I agree. I think this is one of the more fun challenges that the Survivor has done. I think it's an improvement from last week's episode. The biggest thing I'll say is that I think the idea of having like the bricks of with each letter on them being heavy, I think it really adds a special new layer of frustration for the castaways, which makes it even harder for them to work together. And I gotta give kudos to the production team. Like those close up shots that they got of like the people's faces as they're like crying and like trembling while holding it up, it really really like sent home the message that this is a tough ass puzzle. And I think it was a really fun time watching it. Like I was personally on the edge of my seat when I was watching the whole thing go down.
Yeah, you know, I like those shots where like the slow-mo and you know all that, but I only need like one or so per episode. Like I feel like they kind of overdid it in this episode, especially with like the opening credits. Like they had a couple of those in the opening credits, which I loved. But I just wish that it wouldn't be so, so overdone. But yeah, so Nami's going to get done first. Siga is going to get done second. And the thing is, like, Siga, I feel like, has the shortest tribe. Like, I really don't think there's anyone on that tribe. I guess Charlie is probably 6 foot, and he's probably the tallest person on that tribe. So it was a big challenge for them to get this done, but they get it done. Yanu is going to go to tribal council, and goodness, wouldn't it have helped to have a 6'4" person for this challenge? Yanu, like, they screwed up, man.
Yeah, they really did. I feel bad for them. But I think at the same time, though, could we see a world where, like, Jelinski was like, guys, I think we should give up this challenge? Like, could we see a world where he did that?
Honestly, yes, but going into that challenge, they probably would have felt pretty confident because they had Jelinski. And, you vote out a basketball player in the challenge, and then the next challenge is, we're going to play some basketball. Like, it was kind of like that. Like, that's, like, the vibe that I got from this mm-hmm. challenge, and it's like, oh, shit. Like, they did screw up, because if they had voted Jess out in the first episode, they probably win this challenge, and they are in a lot better position than being down 2 in going into the third episode. But, yeah, so this Yanu tribe... before the immunity challenge, let's talk about that. You know, we see Jess kind of integrate herself a little bit more. She's trying to open up. She's trying to, like, be more into the tribe because she does feel on the outs. And she's going to get somewhere because she ends up socializing a little bit more. And that prompts Kenzie to try to... talk some game with Jess and Banu, and Kenzie's gonna take them to the rock, say, hey, how cool would it be if this was the three at the end, and let's vote out let's vote out Q next time, you know, or was it Q? I don't know if it was Q or not, but like basically she was trying to give him some bait, see what would have happened if, you know, she said something. And this was very uncharacteristic from what we've seen from Kenzie so far. It hasn't been a whole lot, but not her best move. Very, like, not subtle at all from Kenzie.
It's not subtle, but I do appreciate that Kenzie gave it a shot. You know what I mean? Like, it's easy for us to sit back here and be like, well, what a terrible idea and stuff like that. But can you really fault her for Jess and Banu being so shit at the game? Like, it's really, like,
I mean,
she was just
no
trying her hardest to take control of
no
it. She was just trying her hardest to take control.
Yes, but at the same time, like, read the room. Like, you probably could have gotten that vibe from Banu and Jess before making that move and then realizing you weren't going to get anywhere with it. Because now what she's done, she's put her whole game on the line. And because Jess could easily go back to Q and Tiffany. And, you know, parrot this conversation. And now Kenzie's the one on the outs. And, you know, Kenzie also has some, you know, heat on her already from Q and Tiffany, from what we see earlier in the episode. They view Kenzie as a social threat. And that is, you know, so that leads to, like, this narrative that Kenzie could be voted out in this episode. And this was a big part of it, a big blunder from her part. But I honestly believe that, you know, even though Kenzie can present some kind of challenge moving forward, it's not going to be enough to make her the main target in this episode, because Jess is just so bad at the game.
Yeah, it's nuts. And back to the point of, like, Kenzie was, like, kind of getting some heat from, like, Q and all, like, and I think it was Tiffany for being, like, too social or, like, using them. It really speaks to the fact that I think Survivor now is, especially with this season, it's like you have to be the most mid player to not get a target on your back. If you have any areas of, like, strength or anything like that, people will pick up on it immediately and start targeting you about it. And it's kind of crazy how we've gone from, like, the winner being, like, the greatest social player or, like, you know, the best to, you know, do this or best manipulative and stuff, to now who's the most mid, which I just think is a bit crazy, like, crazy.
They're saying that, like, sorry to cut you off, but, like, it's like you're saying that, you know, you're playing such a great social game, but that's making you a target. So are you really playing a great social game if you are presenting yourself as this threat in episode two? That's not a good game if you're making yourself a threat so early on. So yeah, there is definitely some, you know, talk about that. You know, you do need to kind of have a low profile to start the game, and the best way to do that is to win challenges. You know, I think every season except for one in the new era, the tribe that lost the first immunity challenge has won the game. You know, someone that goes to the first tribal council has won the game. It's only been one season out of the six, or one season out of the five completed so far in the new era, where that's happened. So winning challenges early on is crucial, because you are able to solidify social relationships, you keep a low profile early on, and then you kind of do what's best for you after that. But that being said, we're going to see some very creative gameplay here from Q, Tiffany, and from Q, Tiffany, and Kenzie to try to ensure that Jess doesn't play her shot in the dark, which would give her a 1 in 6 chance to save herself. So Q even mentioned this on social media afterwards. Hey, 0 in 6 is better than 1 in 6 for Q's purposes. So they're going to try to, like, build this fake idol with, you know, the Beware advantage, like, wrapping the idol, you know, parchment, like the idol instructions, and an idol made out of, like, the beads from Jelensky's old water bottle, which is, you know, hey, like, that's there's something smart there, and they're going to try to hide it. And Tiffany is going to help Jess in this search to go find the idol. And Jess is, like, so clueless that she, even though Tiffany is, like, basically, like, pointing her to the idol and exactly where it is, she's not going to find it. And so they're basically at the point where it's like, Hugh, just give her the idol. What do you think?
This is nuts. Like, I was, like, shocked that Jessica, like, this is not raising any red flags for her.
Yeah, and to me, like, once this, like, fake idol came about, like, it was very clear to me that Jess was the boot. And it was like, okay, yeah, like, it's very clear that she's going to be the one going. It's just a matter of, you know, like, how is it going to happen? Like, is she going to play this fake idol? And that's, like, kind of, I guess, what the intrigue was for me at Tribal Council. So Q's going to give her this idol. And then Q kind of, you know, opens up this idea of, hey, maybe we should vote Kenzie. You know, all I need is Banu and Jess, and they will vote for whoever I tell them to vote for. And so, yeah, like, Q has the power. But he's going to say, well, we need Tiffany's blessing. We need Tiffany's approval. And this is very smart of Q. It makes no sense to go against somebody this early on. You need to have four people on one person, so that the four of you, if you were to make it to a swap, if you were to make it to a merge, you're all on the same page. There's no, there's very little risk of anybody flipping. So I like that Q is mindful of that and making sure that he knows that Tiffany is on board and Tiffany is his number one moving forward.
I just want to say, this is day two of 26. Y'all are going very hard in the paint. Just
day
to dunk
five.
On this poor girl.
Day five.
This is you guys are going extra hard in the paint just to dunk on this poor girl that's going to get, like, second boot.
Yeah, to plan a fake idol for, like, you know, some people were like, oh, they were bullying her, like, all that. Like, I get, like, but I don't think it was done for malicious intentions, and that, to me, says a lot. So I would say that it wasn't like, yeah, they were going hard, but that's kind of the theme of this new era is that, you know, you gotta go hard every day. And, you know, it's like, we've seen fake idols being planted before and given and, hey, play this for this person. And we've seen that before. It's just very strange for it to happen this early on. But when there's only five people in your tribe, you gotta get creative. And this was a very creative way to do it. And that is, like, ultimately, like, why I knew for sure that Jess was the boot. Because it's like, if you were to keep Jess in the game and she had a fake idol, what if she played the fake idol and it was not real? And then you voted for Banu or you voted for Kenzie. Like, then you have Jess pissed off at you. And then you completely lose your stability in the tribe. So that's when I was like, okay, Jess is definitely going. But at Tribal Council, Banu is going to try everything in his power to make sure that it's him and not Jess because of how open he is about secrets that are around the camp.
Banu's crazy. Like, I don't know where they found Banu, yeah. But like, he is legitimately like up there for one of the worst players that we've ever seen. And I think he's very entertaining, but if Banu wins this season, JB, I don't know what like we're doing anymore with Survivor. There's something wrong with the show if Banu wins.
I don't think Banu wins. I think Banu is in. If I had to put money on who's going home next week, Banu has my vote. It's funny how they put arguably the three best players in the game. Kenzie, Q, and Tiffany we've really only seen Yana go to Tribal Council, so we haven't seen, like, the strategic chops from a lot of these players yet, but these three haven't. Like Q, Tiffany, and Kenzie have all shown signs of being good Survivor players. Meanwhile, Banu, Jess, and Jelinski have all shown signs of being terrible Survivor players, so it's like, they may have put the three best players and the three worst players on the same tribe together this season. And it's so funny to me how it all came about. It really is.
Yep, it's quite crazy. And I think that they're harsh and they're like, not harsh, but like they're very like aggressive in their gameplay. But I'm kind of like, Q and Tiffany, I like the way that they kind of work together. It's actually very cool to see them, like the way they kind of maneuver and like do all this stuff. Q is like, I think he's playing a lot more aggressive game than I kind of expected him to. But he's been awesome so far.
So here's two questions before we kind of wrap up here. Did you think that Banu had any chance of going home when he was putting his foot in his mouth throughout the Tribal Council?
No chance. I think that, like you, similar, I thought that the moment that they gave Jess the fake idol and I said that she has to use it and all that stuff, like, I thought it was a done deal. Like, I didn't think that there's any chance that they would risk her doing that and her staying around for another day.
And I think it's pretty clear that Q and Tiffany are the top two on this tribe, based on what we've seen in this episode. If they were to go to Tribal again, or next week, do you think they go for Banu, or do you think they go for Kenzie?
I think at this point, I think you just got to take the shot at Banu because, God, he is giving, like, Keith Nail RIP vibes with his whole entire, like, he's going to say stick to the plan or some shit like that at Tribal Council and at Merge, and you don't want to have an ally like that. So just take him home, take him out now and, you know, move forward with Kenzie. She may be the bigger threat, but at least you can count on her to, like, be a solid ally if she's in your corner.
Yeah, and the fact that Tiffany and Kenzie are as close as they are, I have a hard time seeing Tiffany turn on Kenzie. I get that, like, there is, you know, maybe some Kenzie and Q tension beneath the surface, but that is a problem you can address later. Whereas with Banu, like, I feel like Banu could maybe even just blow up your spot right there if they were to get to a merge or a swap. So, yeah, I would probably say Banu is their route to go next, but we'll have to wait and see. But, yeah, next week we're going to see there's another journey on the episode, and we're going to see Banu is calling Kenzie a mermaid dragon? So I think it could very well be Banu versus Kenzie in the next boot for next week.
Yep, and our girl Venus is going after Hunter.
Yeah, Venus has her eye on Hunter. So like that's the thing. There's infighting within Nami, there's infighting within Yano. Not to say there isn't within Siga, but we don't see it as much. The secret scene though, from this episode, I do want to mention that because I do think it is important. It was with Siga, and it's about I think Mariah and Jem are gonna talk about how they see Ben and Tim as like a duo potentially, and they kind of are looking at them as part of the out. So I did want to mention that because I do think that it is relevant to the conversation as a whole, but they didn't show it on the actual show. So I do think that that also says something about kind of where the dynamics are within Siga. It may not necessarily matter in the long term of things, or I should say this, it won't matter maybe in the short term, but it could have some impact long term for this tribe. But this is going to be where we stop this episode. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. Naveed, thank you for hopping on the pod talk episode 2 with me.
We'll be back. Can I just say one thing before we wrap everything up?
Take us home.
I just want to give a special happy birthday to Jess. I know you got voted out second, and I know it sucked to see yourself get voted out on your birthday. But over here at Rally the Daily, we hope you have a wonderful year.
Yes, that sucked. I would hate for that to happen to me. But I have a May birthday, so if I were to get voted on my birthday, it'd be like at the finale. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't necessarily be as unfortunate. But
I would say that's probably even more devastating, getting voted out near the finale. Like if you're second boot, you're like, oh well, whatever. But like if you're the finale, you're like going over all the things that you could have done on your birthday.
That's true. Like last year the finale was May 24th, so it was the week after my birthday. So I don't know. I guess the finale for this season is around like May 22nd. So it'd be around my birthday because I'm May 20th. So I guess I wouldn't necessarily have that problem. What if you win on your birthday? That's even better.
Yeah. Like, I think at that point, if you have a significant other, like the birthday sex hits extra hard.
Oh yeah, absolutely. All right, that's going to be where we end this episode because with this. But thank you everyone listening. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe wherever you get your podcast, and tune in for next week's episode. And if you're a Reality Daily connoisseur like us, be sure to listen to our other episodes of all the other shows we cover here at Reality Daily. We're talking Traitors USA season 2, which is wrapping up this week, the Challenge 39, which also wrapped up this week, Challenge All-Stars 4 coming up next month, and so much more here. So be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and we'll catch y'all in the next episode. Take it easy.